All right, we invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Lamentations chapter 3 tonight. Lamentations chapter 3. In Lamentations chapter 3, we have the flip side of what we talked about last Wednesday, which was during the waiting, God supplies His mercy. And we talked about the fact that God, in His mercy, He demonstrates that He holds back things that we deserve. He holds those back. Tonight, we're going to look at the positive side of what He gives during the waiting. Because there are many verses of Scripture we could look at, but this famous passage in Lamentations chapter 3, which is a book of funeral dirges. There are five funeral dirges that are declared over the children of Judah because of the awful judgment that came upon them. But even in the midst of all the judgment that was being poured out, we find Jeremiah here rejoicing in the goodness of God. I want us to look at three verses here in Lamentations chapter 3, beginning at verse 25. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation or the deliverance of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke of his youth. Now, three times, each of these verses begins with the same Hebrew word. It's the Hebrew word that we pronounce Tobi, but it's the idea of good. So it literally reads this way, verse 25, good is the Lord unto them that wait for Him. Good is it for the man that should both hope and quietly wait. Good is it for the man that he bear the yoke in his youth. All three, it's a building of a thought process. And the word good is very important to understand, the defining of this word. It means gracious. It means agreeable, pleasant, benevolent, and beneficial. But the emphasis is on gracious. I disagree with those that say that grace does not appear in the Old Testament. It does. It does. It may not be the exact word grace, but it's the same meaning. The goodness of God is emphasized throughout the Psalms, the Proverbs, in Ecclesiastes. It's also emphasized here in Lamentations. And the grace of God appears there. As a matter of fact, I'll say this. God created the universe out of His heart of grace. Do you understand that? Out of the heart of grace. Because what did He say about everything that He created? It is good. Literally, same word that we have here, all right? Literally, it is an act of My grace. It's good. So whenever we hear the idea, well, grace does not appear in the Old Testament, well, I can understand a little bit about the fact that it was a time of the demonstration of law and man's failure to keep it. But I also understand that every act of creation was a demonstration of grace. The making of man different from the animal kingdom and the plant kingdom. And the fact that the Bible says specifically that God breathed into His nostrils the breath of life and made a living soul. Doesn't say that about any other creation other than Eve. Nothing else is it told He breathed into it, it became a living soul. But for man, it did. It was an act of grace. God, in gracious love, gave to His creation on the sixth day, by the way, His final crowning act. He gave to His creation a man to have dominion and subdue it. That was an act of what? Grace. And God said, that's good. There was only one thing that He said was not good, and that was that Adam should be alone. And so He made a helpmeet for him, which was another act of what, folks? Please don't tell me that grace is not in the Old Testament. It's on every page. It literally just screams the goodness and graciousness of God. When He allowed the children of Israel to go back into the land after they were sent into judgment for 70 years, that was an act of grace. Act of grace. So we need to understand that when you see the word good, it's an adjective most times, and it's the idea of gracious. Gracious. Now notice this in verse 25. The Lord is gracious unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that what? Seeketh Him. So not only does God withhold things from us in the waiting, but He says, I give good things to those who wait for Me, to those, as He says in verse 5, that seek Me. I give good things to you. I'm going to act in grace in your behalf. Now this is the give and take of mercy withholding and grace giving to those that wait upon Him. This, I think, is one of the great messages of the Old Testament Scriptures. And it's something that we need to revel in and rejoice in. It's the special effect of waiting upon the Lord. He withholds things that we deserve, and He gives us things that we don't deserve. You know, in media, special effects. You've all seen special effects, especially if you watch the old 1950s monster movies. You have to laugh because special effects really were not very special, were they? Right? I watched a video not too long ago of the first recorded special effect. Okay, 1878. And it was a recorded thing. It was put on this paper disc where they had all these individual pictures, and you spun the pictures and you could see the action moving through. And they had a special effect of the man turning his head, and he had this mask on. He had this grotesque looking mask on there, and that was the first special effect. And I said, whoa, you know. And then the next one, 1895, they did a very short movie of the death of Mary, Queen of Scots. They showed her execution. They had the woman go up, put her head on the block, raise the thing, and then they freeze it. Lady moves, put a dummy in its place, all right? And then it comes down and chops his head her head off, and it rolls down, and the guy goes over and picks it up and smiles to the camera, and the movie's over with, all right? A whole whopping 5 minutes of massive special effects, all right? Now, I'm not talking about that. That's just fakery and trickery with, you know, movie-type stuff to tease us. God doesn't do that, though. He provides us with a special effect. Now get this. Let this linger in your soul tonight. The Lord is good, or good is the Lord unto them. Don't forget the emphasis there. Good is who? The Lord. Good is the Lord unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. In the waiting, what are we to be doing? Seeking Him. This is an element that I haven't touched on yet. It's an important element, though. Your waiting is not useless time spent. Your waiting should involve the action of your soul in seeking after God during that waiting, to pursue God. A.W. Tozier wrote a book called The Pursuit of God. It's one of my favorite books. It's not very long, 125 pages long. But in that book, he talks about the Christian's life as a pursuit of God. And he talks about the fact that we as Christians live such shallow lives because our pursuit of God is limited to just certain days a week as opposed to every minute of every day. There's a big difference between the two. Sunday's not enough, Christian. Wednesday night and Sunday are not enough. It's every day in the Word of God. Every day pursuing after God. Every day wanting to know what God has in store for us today. And Lord, how can You use me today? And pursue after Him with a passion. What are we pursuing with passion today? We've got people pursuing money, popularity. They're pursuing careers. they're pursuing. You know, I read about that actress that died tragically in California when she was high on drugs. She drove her car into a house, destroyed the house. She was burned over 80% of her body. She died about 4 or 5 days later. This particular woman had basically been canceled in Hollywood, and she didn't know how to deal with it. She had lost all the popularity. She was in her 50s. Nobody was calling her to say, hey, we want to get you lined up for a movie. She was getting none of that, and she didn't know how to live life. So she took to drugs. And the last scene of her life is a Ring video of you seeing her little car, her little Mini Cooper, as she's flying by. And then the crash, fire, flames, and basically the end of her life. Now, I want to tell you something. I don't know about you, but I don't want to live that way. I want to have purpose. I want to know why God's put me here upon this earth. It's taken a few years, but I believe that I know what the Lord has for me. But do you realize that most people on this planet have no clue about why they're here and their purpose? And so they go from one poor decision to one bad decision to another decision, consequence from the first decision that was wrong, and they live their whole life two steps forward, one step back. And all they do is play off their wrong decisions because they don't know why they're here. I wonder in our group, do you all know why you're here? Now, I pray that you do, but there are a lot of people that don't. They have some notion of why they've been put here. And they may think something about, oh, it's to be well known, or it's to be some politician. Please, don't set your sights so low. Okay? Somebody wants to run. I've been asked a couple of times through the years, and I said, why would I step down from my ministry to go do that? I'm not going to have any influence apart from the power of God. So I would not ever entertain the idea. I have no interest in that. I don't want to be, because you get, Dr. Hobbs used to say, get your hands dirty. And every politician gets their hands dirty. How many of them we sent good people up to Washington, and they come back and they've got more money than they know what to do with and how to spend, and they got their hands dirty because now they've got money. They can go do things they couldn't do before. And we can pay people to hide things that we're doing, we think. My point is this, folks. In the waiting, as God ministers His grace to us in the waiting, what is my response to His grace? He's giving me something I don't deserve, so what's my response? I seek after Him. I seek after Him. I pursue Him with every fiber of my being. What does that look like? Oh boy, we've got every kind of description today of what that looks like. Being nice to your neighbor. Now, should you be nice to your neighbor? I think so. I think we ought to be nice. You know, treat your neighbor how you want to be treated. You treat your neighbor like a dog, don't be surprised if they come and treat you the same way. But God didn't put us here just to be nice to our neighbor. He's put us here for a purpose, to do His will. So as I'm seeking Him, what am I seeking for? I want to know what God wants me to do. I want to know what He wants me to say. What He wants me to hear. Are you listening? Because we're fouling our ears with all kinds of garbage these days. Now, God's not concerned about that. Oh, He's completely concerned, because He wants to have your undivided attention. And if you're clogging it all up with the world's music and the world's foul language and the world's garbage that it's throwing out 24/7, you're not going to be listening to God. You won't be seeking after Him. So God has to limit His grace, because you're not pursuing after Him. You're not wanting that grace. God's not going to pour His grace out there. Remember what He said, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, use not the grace of God in vain. Have a purpose. Seek after Him. So in the waiting for God, God is not only merciful in that He's holding back what we really deserve, but He's also giving us what we don't deserve, and our response should be seeking after Him, pursuing after Him. I'm always reminded, I'll close with this, Luke chapter 15, I believe it is, the parable of the lost coin. And then you have the parable of the lost sheep, and you have the other parable that's there of the treasure that's in the field. I think for just a moment, if I lost a sheep, I'd be so happy, I would be rejoicing. Because I cannot think of anything more smelly to have in my yard than a lamb. I've been around them enough to know they stink. And I'm not interested. I don't want a pet lamb. I don't want to have to shear it. I don't want to have to smell it. I don't want to have to be around it. All right? So, you know, for someone to go out and that's, to me, that's just love right there. To go after a smelly sheep that doesn't pay any attention to you. But I do know what it's like to go look for a lost coin. I remember as a kid, we were always losing stuff in our yard. And I'm surprised that we haven't found some of those things that we lost in our yard. I'm thinking about if Dad and Mom will let me metal detect their yard, I'll probably find all the things I lost as a kid. But I remember I had a coin that I had found that was a special coin. And it was dated the 1940s. But I thought that was ancient, you know, in the 1970s and the 1940s, that was ancient 30 years before. But I had this coin and I lost it. I looked all over the place for that coin. I looked in our old shag rug that we had in our bedroom. I went through that place looking for that coin and whatever, and I found it later on, several years later. I had my treasure box that I grew up with. I made me a treasure box, and I kept all my stuff in there. And that stupid quarter had gotten down in a crack down in the wood, and I couldn't see it. It was there the whole time, locked up. And I was thinking, I lost my quarter. I'm never going to see that quarter again. And then I found it, and I rejoiced just like the woman in Luke 15. I found my lost coin. Now, when you search for something, and you find it, it's something. It's something. Especially if it's something of value to you. A ring, a coin, I don't know, a cat. Can you put that in that category? There's, you know, different levels, of course, of finding the things that you're looking for. Maybe it's a dog. Maybe it's something else. But what's that? Yeah, that's one of those mixed things. You know, it's what did they used to say? Your mother-in-law going over a Cadillac and a cliff. Your Cadillac. That's mixed emotions definition. That's kind of the way it is with an iPhone. And if there's any mother-in-laws in here, that was a joke. It's a joke, all right. But yeah, finding the iPhone when you've set it down somewhere. I've done that before, and I could not find it. And you've got this locator thing, but then you realize that you put your phone on silent. Yeah. But when you find it, whoo! I mean, it's the most wonderful thing in the world. I'll skip supper tonight because it's so wonderful when you find what you're looking for, right? Are you looking for Jesus? Are you seeking Him out? He's been so gracious and good to us, amen. And the least we can do, not the most, the least we can do is seek after Him. Father in heaven, I pray You'd bless Your word tonight. We owe so much to You. We're so undeserving of Your grace that You pour upon us every moment of the day. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to realize that in the waiting, that when You minister Your grace to us, may we respond rightly by seeking after Thee. Your gracious hand is so powerful. You call it good, and it is. Help us, dear Father, to realize that the Christian life is real. It's not a plaything. It's not a made-up thing. It's real. There are consequences. There are glorious things. There are gracious moments. There are moments of mercy, loving kindness. And that's what makes up our daily lives. And we need to respond rightly in those moments of waiting while we're just waiting, that we might see your grace at work and that we might seek after thee with our whole heart. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a good evening.